Oh, glory to God. Well, let's pray. You ready? Enter in with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before you. We ask that the Holy Spirit would begin to impart to us what we need. And we will purposely yield our heart to that impartation. We will give ourselves as a corporate body, stretch our faith out, and say, Lord God, come, bless us and help us. We are a needy people, Lord. We need your hand in our lives. Many times, Father, we go about our day without recognizing you. But not now, not now. We recognize your presence. We recognize the Holy Spirit. And we yield as a congregation. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Wow. Well, who has ever heard me preach from the Old Testament? Right? Never. But that's okay. I snatched one verse out of there I liked.
Oh my goodness.
Even though there's lots of good verses in there. Actually, it's two verses. I got to take these pauses because this is like short. And if I'm short, then you get out of here early. We can't have that in church. When I first came into church, in case you don't know, that was September 17th, 1978, about 11:45. 1717 South Puget Sound. Just happened to remember that. Oh, that's so good. I got saved. Told the preacher, I said, well, I come to get God. Thank you for that. I told the preacher there, I said, I come to get God. I want to get married. Yeah, no, I didn't want to quit drinking, smoking, running around and all that. No. I wanted to marry this woman I fell in love with, so I knew I needed something bigger than me, so I wouldn't kick her off like an old pair of worn out tennis shoes later on, when I saw a nice new shiny pair in the store. And he said, well, to get God, you got to have Jesus. And it's still the same today, and it will be the same forever. If you want God, you got to go through Jesus. Make no mistake about that. So today, I want to talk about absorption. Oh, Lord. That's what stuck in my head about 4 days ago, and I can't get it out, so that's what I put for a title. We'll see what happens after that, okay? I know. I said, Lord, I nothing. Absorption kept sticking in my head, so I wrote it down. Absorption means a preoccupation, whole attention. How many of you got a cell phone? I can't tell you how many times I will come home from work, sit down with my wife, and I still have that cell phone in my hand. I have to consciously make an effort to set that thing down, or else I'm going to be looking up tomorrow's schedule. I'm going to be texting a guy saying, hey, make sure you're there at 7 and all that. And I got to set that thing aside. It's like absorbed into my life, this Tell me the dread. Somebody give me an amen of the dread when you leave your cell phone somewhere else. A preoccupation. Whole attention. Absorption. Soaking up. Soaking up. Hopefully you got that in mind today. It is to soak up into the fibers. Into the fibers. I was going to do it. I may do it anyway. Because I'm not the one. Sean is the one. Where are you, Sean, in your army t-shirt? Where'd you go? You were here worshiping a second ago. Sean with the army t-shirt. Come on, buddy. Come up here. We're going to see about soaking up. into the fibers. See, you got Sean here. Outstanding man of God, I tell you, he really is. If we can get some of his heart, we're going to be blessed. Now here's Sean in his nice shirt. And Sean is here to absorb. He's here to soak it up into the very fibers. Look at that. See how that just gets right in the fibers. Show them, Sean. Look at that. Right into the fibers. That's all we're going to do because we're not having a wet t-shirt contest. Had you wet? Absorption. And I'll absorb some of this. Up in the Children's Resource Center is a dryer. You can go up there and close the door and put your shirt in there for 15. It'd be all right. Absorption. It's incorporation. Incorporation into a larger entity. Did you know everybody that puts their hand to the plow that God has given by His Word Christian Center here has been incorporated into a larger thing? It's a bigger thing. You're going to do wonderful things. And God has great things for you to put your hand to. But when you get absorbed into a community like this, into a culture like we have here, you're doing a larger thing. A bigger thing. And for some of you who are not involved, don't think I'm trying to give you a guilt trip. Pastor Shear is. If you're not involved, you're on the front row. If you're not involved, you're not part of something larger. And there's so many ways to get involved. Of course, you know, bless the church with your finances. Bless us with your prayers and the giving of yourself. There's children's ministries. There's choir things here and there's ushers and there's just all kinds of things that you can do in this church to become part of a larger entity. I'll drink to that. Absorption is engagement. Engagement. I guess I say that word, and then I think of engagements. You know, when people give that shiny ring and says, I want to marry you, will you? So they're engaged. Well, there's other ways of engagement, and it kind of connects with the other one, incorporating. You get engaged with something or something. You begin to get involved in it. I got a guy that works with me, outstanding young man, and he like owns the job. He comes in and his mind begins to set out a plan, how we're going to attack this unit that we're in, and oh, we're going to do this, and he, you know, I guess, quote, I'm supposed to be the boss, right? And he's going, and you do the cutting in this one, and you're going to do the rolling in this one. You know what I do? You know what I say to him? I say, all right, I'll get that cut in. He's engaged himself in what he does. And he feels bad if we do not do a unit and a certain amount of time. He's getting in the van with going, man, I'm sorry, Lonnie, man. I really thought we could get that in 3.5. Not too many people like that. Most of us are half-hearted. When's break time? When's lunchtime? Man, we're going to stay until 4:30? I got a game I got to go to. I'm engagement. And then, of course, the last thing I want to say about absorption is immersion. Immersion. That means to get totally in it. You're immersed in it. You ever heard of baptism? Same thing. The death, burial, and resurrection. You are never going to get to the resurrection until you are immersed in His death. before there's a rising up, before there's a victory, before there's a coming up out of, you must have a death. Remember the little woman there, the widow of Nain? They were bringing her son out in the casket. She was sad. She was broken. Her life was over. In that culture, in many cultures still today, the man has a son and the son takes care of the mother and everybody else when the father passes. That's part of his duty. Now her son is dead and her husband is long dead and she's burnt out. But in the middle of death, come along Jesus Christ. The Nazarene, that lowly guy, as one fellow said when he met him, he said, is there any good coming out of Nazareth? That death was met with life, and that woman had fullness of joy. You want fullness of joy, you're going to have to die. And if you want to live in resurrection, you have to do what Jesus said daily. Take up your cross and follow me. You know, there was a movie some time ago now. I think it had to do with the death penalty or something, but it was called Dead Men Walking. Here we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. Pastor John said, you know, Jesus did all this. We're through the songs. He did all this. Those songs go together real good, real nice. And all I have to offer is me. But before you offer it, it's got to be dead. Or else there's no resurrection. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But yet the life, you know what life that is? The resurrection life, I'll insert that there in Galatians 2:20. That resurrection life I live by the faith of the Son of God. So we're talking about absorption. And we are going to look in the Old Testament at a scripture now that I just love. Couldn't get absorption out of my mind. I couldn't get this scripture out of my mind. Oh, it's so powerful. Because you know, in our lives, we absorb so many things. I think of the boxer. Boxers get punch drunk, they call it. They get, their brains are loose because they have absorbed so many blows, so many punches to the head. Makes you rummy. Well, maybe sometimes in our life we've taken some blows. We've absorbed some things into our life. And maybe over in this area, we're sharp as a tack, as they say. But over here, where we've received some blows, we're a little rummy. And you can't always tell until you hit that spot again. But here in Ezekiel chapter 46, find it? It's probably going to go up there, right? Cheater! I don't know. Pastor Cook, you know, he's my elder by a couple years. But I don't know. I think we're akin to this right here. There's something about hearing those leaves, isn't it? Something about the smell of this. And you know where I got it? And this is not, you know, if you got it electronically on your phone, your iPad or whatever, great. You got it. But my first church that I went to after I was saved was a little church in Lakeside, California, just next to Santee, California, next to El Cajon, California, next to La Mesa. And on top of La Mesa, you know what La Mesa means, some of you Spanish speakers, the top of the hill, right? Well, up on there was a great big Jesus. And El Cajon, you know what that means? That's the coffin, the box. So here I lived right next to the coffin in Santee, and I went to a church in Lakeside. And in that church was a Russian pastor. It was a Assembly of God church, because that's all I knew. Got saved there, raised up there. And he escaped somehow out of Russia, came here, got schooled, is a pastor now. And that mug, I loved how he prayed too. He loved his Bible. Oh, he loved his Bible. And he would pray, you know, before he'd speak, he'd say, "Lord, I pray that the anointing would come upon me first." I never understood that until I began to speak. I need that anointing. And then the Holy Spirit will put that anointing on you and will connect. You can get the anointing. If I don't have it, I won't connect. That's why we pray. In fact, I missed in the very beginning of preaching. I missed a few times praying before I spoke. And the Lord told me, "I want you to pray every time." And I, you know, I was just a kid in the Lord. Well, why? That's what kids do. The Lord's not afraid of that. He said, because when you get the people to pray with you, they enter in with you. They come up in with you. So you're in with me now. I got deodorant, so it's okay. Ezekiel 46, did you get it? Verses 9 and 10. Let's see, one more page. I guess if I was an outstanding preacher, I'd give you all the history and background, and but no. All I got was this scripture and absorption, okay? Just listen to this scripture. Listen to it. Oh, okay. You ready? Ezekiel 46, verse 9. But when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And whoever enters in by way of the south gate shall go out by way of the north gate. He shall not return by way of the gate through which he came, but shall go out through the opposite gate. The prince shall then be in their midst. When they go in, he shall go in. And when they go out, he shall go out. That is life-altering. That will knock your cart over. That will stir up your whole life. Change your situation. Renew your strength. Give you wisdom. Open operation of the grace of God. That right there. We got it there? Oh, that's so awesome. I came in that door right there. According to this scripture, when I came in that door to worship, because that's what I'm doing with you. I'm not a separate entity here. I'm not a separate thing. We are absorbed together. The anointing is on me. The anointing is on you. We are connected together. I came in that door to worship. If I was to apply this literally, I'm going out that door. But what can we get from this right now? What the Lord shared with me. You come in one way. You've come here to worship. You've come to church for how, why ever. Daddy makes me do it. Mama makes me do it. My wife makes me do it. My husband makes me do it. Oh, I got responsibilities here. I'm supposed to show up. Oh, I don't know. I'm just supposed to go to church. I don't care how you came in. But if you come in to worship, you're going to go out a different way. I guess it would be like Sean and the dryer up in the children's room. You come in here absorbed or soaked from everything out there in your life. You come in here and get in the dryer. And worship. And you go out a different way. But verse 10. Verse 10. Is it up there? Verse 10. Where is it? Verse 10. There it is, down at the bottom. The prince. Who is the prince? Now, I know in this context he's talking about the leader, the ruler of the nation. Set that aside. Allegoric. Type. Shadows. Okay? See, I got my Old Testament in, don't I? Look what it says right up here. Look up there. The prince, two commas, of peace, one more, of glory, of grace, of joy. Okay. All right. The prince shall then be in their midst when they go in. He came in with you. He probably come in going, here, let me help you with that mess. Let me help you with that luggage. Get on in here. Come on, I need you in here. You got any more bags out in the car? I'll go get them. Yeah, I do. My wife's out there. Look at it. When they go in, he shall go in. The opportunity for you this morning is huge, large. Shall go in. And when they go out, here's how most of us go out. We get up, you know. Oh, yeah. Oh, good to see you, Pastor. Good to see you. Oh, you know, I have such trouble with my kids. You know, I mean, at work, people don't like me. I mean, I don't know. By the time we get to the car, we're hauling this big old chain of baggage with us. I tell you what, Jesus is not hauling it out there with you. But if you come in to worship God, to be absorbed into Him and He into you, and when they go out, He shall go out with them. Oh, goody, goody, yummy, yummy, right? Does that mean Jesus leaves you, right? No. 1982, you know, I'm sitting in a tavern. Oh, yeah. Just before I went to the tavern, I laid hands on my son. I confess, no deadly thing will come upon him. I'm delivered from the curse of the law. No one, no man, no thing, no drug, no disease will take my son captive. Read Deuteronomy 28. If you're under the curse, someone will take your kids captive. You're under the curse, someone will lie with your wife. I said, nope, not going to happen. Right to the tavern I went. Didn't change a thing. God stood by that word. Even though I was not. He's not changing. So He'll be with you. He'll be with you. There's no doubt about it. You got family, friends, you have people you're praying for that, you know, are backslidden. God is with them. They can't shake Him. They just can't. He's absorbed. He's like a stain on their life. They, you know, if you get a stain on your shirt, you usually don't see it, right? But it's always on your shirt. It's wherever you go. I hate it when I get, you know, sipping coffee. Just a couple of days ago, my wife saw something. She goes, I just really don't like that. We got to fix that. I mean, every time I come in here, I see that. I see that. We got to fix that. I'm going, come on, honey. It's just there. It's what it is right now. And then she brought it up. She said, what about when you get a stain on your shirt? I'm taking that thing off. I'm trying to get back in the house and I'm in the car to get me another shirt. Holy moly. I bring this shirt on a hanger because I want to put it on all straight and I wrinkled up all through here. I know. That's okay though. Chuck, he confessed to me he's just like that. He likes to have things look right. So you coming in here, and things are incorporated in your life. Some things are soaked up into your fibers. But if you come in here to worship, there's a new absorption that's going to take place. You know, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. We have a past in God. Some good, some not so good. Well, we're to, you know, the Bible also says don't remove the landmark of your fathers. He's saying, don't forget what God has done in your life. Don't set that aside like it don't mean nothing now. No matter how tough it is now, you've got to sometimes just reflect back at the landmark. I worked for this old guy. He was probably 30 years my elder, maybe more, 35. And he used to always tell me, he said, "Hey, I got to drive a stake in the ground to see if you're moving." And that old guy, he'd get out of the truck and he's moving. And I get out of the truck, oh my gosh, I got to keep up with him. Oh, hallelujah. I did write some New Testament scriptures, so let's talk about absorption, okay? You notice I totally lost my thought, so I come here and start something else. It's okay. Oh, don't laugh, Pastor. You've been at this longer than me. Exactly. What have I told you before? Whenever the preacher's saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God," that's because he's trying to make his way back to the notes to find out. Let's see. Okay, here we are. Oh, yeah, in verse 27. So we're going to just think about absorption for just a positive minute. And in James chapter 1, verse 21. Yeah, I got a couple minutes there still. James 1, verse 21. It reads like this. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of naughtiness." Wow. "And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." Something good is in the Word of God. And you can, because you are now, since you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now properly equipped and prepared to receive from God. He says here, "Receive with meekness." That word there means deliberate, ready reception. Deliberate, ready reception. How many times did we hear the story of the sower? And then, you know, some were sown on stony ground that hurt it, and it was taken away by the birds, and everything else, other stuff grew up, choked it out. But he that heard the word and received it, produced. Pastor said there's two kinds of receiving there. Remember? The word that gets taken out, the word that was meant to absorb into your life and change your life, the word that was supposed to be implanted in you so that your whole mode and process and way of thinking can be changed, has to be a deliberate receiving. You have to come here deliberately, ready reception, if you're going to get anything from the Word of God. You know, I mean, how old are we now? 31, I think. So I've been coming here for 31 years. And I'm going to admit it. I've come here, sat in those chairs, and went out the same door I came in. I came in that door, went out that door. Only one Sunday. And another. And another. And Wednesday. And another. And another. And another, and another. 31 years, there's a lot of Sundays. Got to come in deliberately to get the Word. Romans 12, 1 through 3 talks about, you know, renewing your mind. Not being conformed, or that word means to be, you know, packed into the world, pressed into the world. Well, let's just, no stones, please. We're going to change that to don't be absorbed into the world. Don't be absorbed into it. Be transformed. Be transformed into the Word. That's what makes us new. I talk to our here young people and stuff, and maybe not in this church because Pastor Mikey is solid. He knows the Word is right. But you hear them talking, and somewhere in their talking, there's not an emphasis on the Word. And I'm not belittling it. We've got to have it. There's always an emphasis on community and culture. Those things are good, and we need to know how to operate and move and be a part of that. But you've got to have the Word of God. You've got to deliberately, readily receive it. Or else you're going to do culture and the community no good. You've got to be absorbed in this. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Oh, we can go read that because there's still almost. I'm going to have to do something else here in a minute. Acts chapter 4. This is a great verse for absorption. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. These guys have spent time with Jesus. And this time, of course, it has to be connected with after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because before, they were hidden off. They were even hidden off in the upper room. I mean, it was good and right that they went up there, but they were hidden off up there. It wasn't until after the Holy Spirit came upon them with power that they came out of that upper room and walked amongst those people, and they said, whoa, what's going on? These guys are all drunk. I don't drink much, but when I do, it's in the Holy Ghost. They were with Jesus. And then the last one there for me is Luke 3:16. Let's see. That's before Acts, right? Anybody know where we're at here? Luke 3:16. Hey, and when I wrote that scripture reference there, it just reminded me, just as fun, go through the Bible, the New Testament, and look for 3:16. You will see all kinds of wonderful scriptures. All kinds of wonderful scriptures. Is it Timothy, one of the Timothys, where, you know, the Word of God is breathed by the Holy Spirit? 3:16. Nice, huh? Here, Luke says, well, actually, I believe it's John, Luke 3:16. John says, John answering, saying to all, I'm saying to all of you, I indeed baptize you with water. I indeed going to soak you with water. I'm going to get all your clothes and all your fiber wet in water. That's what he's going to do. Then he says, but one mightier than I is coming. Yes, did that get me right here in the throat? One mightier than I is coming. It doesn't matter what, who, where, when, how you got absorbed into something, soaked up with something, something's affected you. There's one mightier in this building today, and he's ready, as John said, to baptize you, to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know that in a mountain stream, as the water goes down from a mountain stream over all those mountain stream stuff there, that you can drink that water at the other end because it gets cleaned out along the way. As you get immersed in the water of the washing of the Word by the Holy Spirit, you get cleaned out. You get washed up. Little scrubbies in there, you know, you spray the scrubby. Instead of, how was that kitchen? You ever seen the commercial? Well, that's right, you guys are spiritual. You probably don't watch TV. But it's a commercial with little scrubby guys. Instead, you come and say, how was that church? Oh, the scrubbies were everywhere. The Holy Spirit. Immersed in the Holy Spirit. Engaged with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm telling you. He is there with you. No, He is in you. He is in you. He's in you. Now, this is where we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Okay? Ezekiel 4, D6, verses 9 and 10. It says when the people come in to worship, they come in the north gate, they go out the south gate. If they come in the south gate, they go out the north gate. The people are supposed to come in to worship one way and go out changed another way, right? And when they do, the prince is with them the whole time. When they come in, he's here. He's got the can of scrubbies. I'm going to try to just give you these three scriptures and just let them do some scrubby to you. John 4, verse 1, you start there and go through verse 25, is the story of the woman at the well. She would come to the well to draw water. I'm going to connect that with you coming here today. I used to think that I always had to say in third person instead of just say you. Are you need this? Because, you know, third person is just, it's softer, isn't it? But no, you came to the well today. You need this. You need to hear this. Pastor Cook and myself, we don't have no need for it. Except for maybe that lying spirit, right? No, I'm sorry. I just sucked you in. Don't sit on the front row. So we have this woman at the well, and she come to get her water. And she meets Jesus there. And she's not ignorant of worship. Read the whole story. She said, hey, we worship over here, and you guys worship over there. She knows there's a way to come in. But somehow she kept coming in. And going out the same way. So much so, you probably couldn't tell by looking at her. But Jesus could see somewhere, as He sees right now, that there was stuff in her life that she always brought in. Her case, it was five husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband. Doesn't matter what I call it, how I say it. But you come in with this stuff, unseen by anyone else. You stand here and worship and run in and you go back and forth. Of course, if you're, you know, crabby and old, you just run in. No, I'm not teasing you. You can at least shuffle, right? But you come in here with all this hidden stuff. You came in to get some water. You know you come in to worship. But so many of us, that's the third person, so many of us, we go out the same. And I've already confessed before you that I have done it many, many times. I come up here, I've danced in the Spirit, I've prophesied, and I still went out the same. The Bible said of Saul, when the Spirit came on him, he turned into another man. But he remained the same. It's not until the Spirit comes in you that you change. And you have to receive that.
Oh, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of Christian. I got him in.
Yes, you do. But you have to receive it nonetheless. You have to believe it to get it to help you. The woman at the well. She came. Lots of stuff. And then Mark 3, verses 1 through 6. Jesus went into the synagogue. And in that synagogue, they're all in there to worship. And in that place is a man with a withered hand. You may not have a withered hand, whatever it is. But you may... Oh my gosh, see what the Lord just said to me? The Bible talks of the hand of the Lord. That it can come upon you. Maybe sometime in your life, you've had the hand of the Lord come upon you. And you were excited. You were on fire. You were ready to do whatever He wanted you to do. I'm not necessarily talking about preaching. That's really a small part of what God does in His church. That is such a small part. Because see, one word from God can change all your life. So it's a small part what happens up here. The big part is what happens on you. Maybe you've had the hand of God and it has withered in your life. And you're asking yourself, you came in that door to worship this morning. But you're going out the same door. Going out the same door. That's not what the prince wants. He was up there, you know. The prince wants you to go out another door. He said, I am the door. I am the door. He lets you in, but He wants you to go out another door. That thing that God has talked to you, said to you, you've lost all that. It's withered. What did He say to that man? What did He say to that man? You know, He questioned all the religious dudes there. Is it right to do good or bad? They don't have, they had their head in a hole in the ground. And He said, stand forth. Stretch out your hand. And it said, He restored it. He restored it. That word is not just He made it like the other hand. He made it better than the other hand. When Job repented and said, yes, the Lord is God and I'm just a man and He knows all things and I surrender to Him. When He restored him, he had 7,000 sheep. He's now got 14,000. 500 she-donkeys. He's got 1,000 donkeys now. When God restores the withered hand that He's had on your life, it's better. It should move you more. And then, of course, we have Luke 13, 10 through 17. One of my favorite stories. Wait a minute. That last one was too. But this one's a good story too. It's the woman with the spirit of infirmity. In her case, she came to church to worship. She came to get the water. She came in that door right there. All bent over. But the prince came in with her. He was there. And he said, daughter, you're loose from your infirmity. Of course, all everybody around said, who do you think you are? You know you still got that same problem at work. You know your son is still doping. You know your wife is just... You know your husband is not coming home every day after work. Praying for you, Jerry. They all got upset. This woman was dogged with a spiritual problem. She may have been being attacked by demonic forces, which showed up in her physically, but they can just show up in your mind, and nobody knows the difference. The prince knows. He's here. The prince knows. And he delivered him just like you can go out another way. I tell you what, I have had in my home on several occasions, I could see him right over here, right over there. He was just, if I turn to look, it's like he ducks away behind a shadow. It's a spirit. I will get up from the chair. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I were praying. Down in our little family room and up there, that entity come out into the kitchen. I could see him. I wasted no time. I said, honey, just got to wait. He's right over there. I got up, walked right into that room, and I said, in Jesus' name, you don't belong in this house. You don't belong here. You get out. And just as real as if I was talking to Pastor Cook, I walked him right out to the right and out that door. I didn't have to open it because you know he's spirit. And I've seen him from time to time coming, trying to infiltrate my life. Sometimes I'm struggling so much and then I'll get a glimpse of him. You can't, don't bow down. The prince is with you. Just confront it straight on. You know, the classic is, you know, you go in the basement and you turn off the lights and it feels like something's following you right up the stairs, so you kind of go fast. No, no. Leave those lights off. Go right back down those stairs. Stand in there. I've done it. And say, come on. I'm a child of God. You can't hurt me. Get out of my house in Jesus' name. And they have to go. Or if they're on the job site, they have to go. They try to follow you in through those doors. You're going out those doors and they have to go. Spirit of infirmity. Now the last thing. We already read it, seen it there in Ezekiel chapter 40. But verse 10 is the one I want to leave with. Wow, I don't want to break this right now. I'm going to give this verse, then Pastor Cook's going to come. He's making me do it. It said that the prince comes in. Oh, it's not up there. I shut my Bible. How am I supposed to find it now? That's what happens, see, when we count on that electronical stuff. I know it. You should know it. Verse 10, Ezekiel 46. The prince shall then be in their midst. The prince is in our midst. When they go in, he shall go in. And when they go out, he shall go out. If something in this service was said that touched your heart, if something has come across you and you realize, man, I've just absorbed those blows all my life, then we're gonna have an altar call. I've figured it out finally over all the years. I think for me, maybe not for other people, but for me, the number one way that I impart the anointing that God's given me to help you is by the laying on of hands. So I'm going to give this to Pastor Cook, and then we're going to have an altar call, and I'm going to lay hands on you. I will be standing in the prince's stead. That's our job. Not just me. That's your job. That's your place. You stand in his stead. Just like he stood in your stead on the cross, you stand in his stead right here on the earth. My wife says this about offerings for speakers, for church, and I think I agree with her. When a person has, whether it's our pastor or one of the other pastors here, or if it's a guest speaker, or you're at another church and you hear that speaker, she says this: an opportunity has to be given to the people to respond to that message. That's what offerings are about. And I'm always privileged to be blessed. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's enter in. Let's come in one door and let's go out another. I'm going to be here to lay hands on you. First of all, let's all stand. And then I want to clarify what I'm talking about. The first thing that you got to understand, I don't know everybody in here. I see a lot of faces I know, and I know where you are with the Lord. I see that. I know that I've talked to you. But there's some here I don't have a clue about you. It may be that you came in those doors one way. The only way to go out another way is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If you want something different in life, if you want an opportunity to push forward instead of being stagnant, I didn't say there would not be pushing. But if you come into Jesus Christ, there'll be the Prince with you to push with you. So when the altar call comes up, if you're coming up to receive Jesus Christ, you just let me know. There's people here that will minister to you and give to you the water that the woman at the well said, "Lord, living water, I never come here, give it all to me." And then, of course, I could talk about backslidden, right? I don't need to. I think the message touched a lot of that. So if you fit in that category, I'm not calling it, so no one will ever know. But if the hand is withered, he told the man with the withered hand, "Come forth. I'm telling you, come forth. You got demonic activity in your house, at your work, just messing with your head." Jesus said to her, "Woman, you're loosed. I'm saying to you, you're loosed. Come forward. Have hands laid on you." Maybe you want to be immersed into the Holy Spirit today, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then come forth. You can start coming now. It's okay. Just come on out. Get out of your chairs. You know, I have thought about humility in many, many different ways. And the Lord has shared some wonderful things with me. And I don't know, maybe I could be wrong. God has locked everything up in faith. You have to receive by faith. Faith is a trusting on someone else. And the only way you can trust someone else is if you're humble. You trust Jesus today? Then just humble yourself and come on. Come on. I know this message was for you. I, you know what's odd? Don't think I've been coming to this church for so long, I'm embarrassed to go up there. So what? I see people up here that have come in prayer lines over and over and over. That does not belittle them or make them less. They're making a choice today to come in one way and go out another way. It might be just this moment. It may be a lifetime accumulated. Either way, the Prince is present. You ready? Anybody here for Jesus Christ? I got preacher cottonmouth, so I better have a minute. Yeah, I tell you all the secrets of preachers, don't I? That's right. What you do is what they do, right? Okay, then come on, we'll start right here. Did you see how they all just... Whatever this guy right here in this section does, they all do it. I love it. I love it. That's how the Holy Spirit runs things. All right, here we go. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Well, you can go. You're dismissed. You can stay. You come in to worship. Go out another door. Hallelujah.